Turn your Bibles tonight, Genesis 15. Genesis 15, we're going to see salvation in the Old Testament tonight. Salvation in the Old Testament. I don't know if you've ever come across someone yet that talks about dispensationalism. And that can be a slippery slope for a lot of people, and especially depending on all kinds of things. And one of the slippery slopes of dispensationalism is they try to slip in on you that people used to get saved differently back in the Old Testament for Jesus Christ, and they would be wrong, amen? And we're going to see tonight yet another area, not just Old Testament, but also New Testament, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, salvation in the Old Testament. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word this evening, Genesis chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through to verse 6. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 through verse 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Verse 6, And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Don't miss that. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you help us tonight. Lord, I thank you for Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for the word of God, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I thank you for what you've done to us and for us in our life. I pray that you help us tonight, Lord. I pray that you guide and direct me. Holy Spirit, please, I pray that you fill me with your power and guide me and direct me as I preach from your word. I pray that you help me, Lord, to be a blessing to your people. All these things we ask in your name. Amen. You may be seated. 2 important things are going on in this chapter. We see a covenant that God is going to enact with Abram later on in the chapter. But we come here first, and we know out of Hebrews, if you know the verse, you can finish it for me. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Faith is important. Preacher, you always talk about it. I know. God wants me to. Amen. And it's important. Your faith. In fact, we talked about it this past Sunday night. And that thy faith fail not. When Jesus was praying for Peter, even though Peter had a few bad moments, Jesus prayed for his faith to fail not. Boy, that's an important thing. You can still be a human being and have your moments, but if you can keep your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's exactly what he wants for all of us. Can I hear an amen on that? Amen. God does not expect you to be a robot. Amen on that one. Think about this. If God expected you to be a robot, you would have no chance if you had one bad day, one bad moment, one bad time, one bad morning, one bad afternoon, if you missed one devotion time, if you missed one Bible reading time, if you missed one prayer time. We don't serve a God that has unrealistic expectations of us. We serve a God that knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're what? Dust. We're made from the dust of the ground. And we're going to see here salvation in the Old Testament. I'm going to show you here that God promises Abram 3 main things in this chapter. God promises Abram 3 main things, and Abram questions God twice. This is Abram, soon to be Abraham. He believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the what of God? The friend. Thank you. Amen. I know this is Wednesday and it's been a hot day. Help me out here. Amen. Called the friend of God. Can you imagine your faith being to the point where God would count you a friend? You ever been there in your life where you're having a rough day, a rough week, a rough month, and you just need a good friend? Where's a good friend at? I wonder if God can say the same about us. I wonder if God can say, you know what? Abram was my friend because he believed me. I wonder if he could say the same about me. I wonder if he could say the same about you with your faith. So let's see here the three things that God promises Abram. We're going to look at that first. And then we'll go to the two questions Abram has for God. So, number one, we see that God promises Abram, look at verse 1, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God promises Abram to be his shield and exceeding great reward. There's two right there he's promising, but I'm counting it as one. So the first thing that God is promising him, that he'll be his shield. We've already seen how Abram's gone into Egypt, and the king of Egypt did what to Sarai? He bought her for what? All right. Amen. So he purchased Sarai for her to be his wife. All right? So when that happened, Abram had a very bad moment of time. He exposed the welfare and safety of his wife over for his own. He valued his own safety and welfare over his wife's safety and welfare. That's a bad thing, by the way. And even in that, God was his shield. I think we can all say thank you to the Lord for protecting us even from our own bad decisions. Can I hear an amen? By the way, we may not realize our own bad decisions, but there will be times that God even protects us from the bad decisions we don't even know we're making. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So number one, God promises Abram to be his shield and exceeding great reward. Notice the words he's using. Now, if we just said there's a reward, hey, our ears perk up. God didn't say, I'll just be your great reward. God says, I'll be your exceeding great reward. This is what he's promising to Abram here. So number two, the next thing that God is promising him is verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. So what God was saying to Abram is, hey, Abram, the guy that's already in your household, that's not your kin, he's not of your blood, he's not your heir. Your heir is going to come from you. Basically, it's going to be your blood son. And God is promising him. Now, at this time, Abram, as best as a lot of scholars can put it, he's between 75 years old and 85 years old. Do we have anyone in that age range, 75 to 85? Anyone like that in here? All right. Can you imagine having your first kid? Lord, no, please. And God said he's going to come from you. Your son will be your heir. And this is important because he is between 75 and 85 years old. And especially, you know, even now, but even back then, they're kind of past the time of childbearing. And it's important us to know that God can do the impossible even when we don't see how it can be done. Amen? I remember back in 2020, we, you know, casting the vision, and we need to raise money for our roofs, and we had vision night in January, and COVID was made aware to us in February. And after they wanted us to shut down and do all this and that, and I thought, oh man, we're supposed to replace two roofs this year. Lord, how's this going to happen? And before the year was out, we already put a new roof on. And I say this, and I call this to our memory, because God's not limited by what we see and what we have and what we are able to do. God can do anything. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything. but fail. How many know the song? Amen. He can do anything. And let me encourage you here, whatever's going on in your life, God's not limited by what you are limited by. Number three thing that God promises Abraham or Abram, look at verse 7, Genesis 15, verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the earth of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. You know, let me ask you a question. Did Abram ever see that land? He saw it, but he never owned it. He never occupied it. And this was part of Abraham or Abram having faith in God and believing God. It's because Abram never took possession of that land. He was still a sojourner, but he still trusted God. And I want to encourage you here tonight that even though that it may be hot, you may be tired, you may be worn out, and you may have heard this 100 times already, God wants us to be reminded through His Word tonight that God's not limited by what you're limited by, and God's not limited by your resources. God's not limited by your age or what your body can or can't do. God's not limited by any of that. God can do anything. And if God promises it to you, you can take it to the bank. Amen, preacher. I know this is Wednesday night, but help me out here. If you believe and agree with something, say amen. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. So God promises Abram three main things in this chapter. Abram has two questions for God. You know, it's okay to ask God questions, and I think Abram was questioning God respectfully here. But let me say this. Asking questions aren't bad. As long as you ask, of course, in the right way and the right person here. So the first question Abram asks is verse 2. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? Yeah, I can imagine Abram saying, yeah, God, I've heard you say this before, that my son's going to inherit all this land and my seed's going to be as the stars of heaven. I know all that, God, but I'm 75 to 85 years old. I don't even know how old I am, God. Of course, I'm being funny there, but I'm sure he knew exactly how old he was. But God, I'm kind of old here, and you're still promising me that I'm going to have an heir? Abram's asking God. Look at God's response to him. Verse 4. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Look at verse 5. Don't miss verse 5. And he, that's God, brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars. So we see at night, because during the day you cannot see the stars with the naked eye. At night, it has to be at night. God takes Abram and he says, look at the stars. And look at what he said here in verse 5. So shall thy seed be, if thou be able to number him. And number the stars there. You know, we only see the here and now. God sees everything. He sees the whole entire picture. And he's promising Abram, hey, just keep doing what I'm telling you. You're going to have, your seed's going to do this. You're going to have this land. And you're going to do all these things. I'm your shield and great exceeding great reward. He's just telling him, just keep moving forward. Let me say this right here. God might be telling you to do the same thing, but I just don't see it. That's not faith, though. Faith is not seeing something and then walking forward. Faith is, I don't see it, but God says this, so I'm just going to do that instead. Faith is doing something in the presence of doubt. Faith is still trusting God, even when what I see tells me contrary, and what I hear, and what I can smell, and what I can taste, and what I know my body is like. God, I'm old, God, and you're saying that my seed is going to be, just make Eliezer, or whatever his name is, from Damascus, let him and his children, let him be the heir. God said, no, they're going to come from you. And I want to encourage you here tonight. I don't know who this is for. This might be for you, might be for me. But I want to say this tonight, that God is on the throne and God's not hindered by what we're hindered with. And God can do anything. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The Bible says, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. The problem with us is not the fact that God is not answering the prayers. The problem with us is we don't believe. If we don't believe, what happens? A lot of times we just turn around. God's like, what are you doing? I just don't see it, God. Hey, just keep going. Just keep going. And God is encouraging Abram right here. Look toward the heaven. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. You know, on average, depending on what part of the world you're in, at night, if it's a totally dark night, no city lights blocking your view, and it's a clear sky, you can see between 4 and 50,000 stars. Depending, again, what time of the year it is, where you're at, yada, yada, yada. Let's take the low number, 4,000. You know, they've had scientists that have actually mapped it. They've taken a picture of the sky, and they've, you know, mapped it out, and they've kind of, you know, counted the dots, and kind of like counting the dots in each of these ceiling tiles. And you really can't number all the stars. You know, they just made a James Webb Space Telescope, and it's finding new things. It's at the edge of the galaxy, finding new things. God's amazing. God's amazing. I know it's hard to see past today. I know it's hard to see past this certain bill or that certain bill or this certain health issue or that certain health issue. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God can do some amazing things. So Abram questions God about his own heir. God's telling Abram, it's not going to be your steward. It's going to be from you. Look at verse 8 now. Genesis 15, verse 8. Here's the second question Abram says. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Talking about, if you look back at verse 7, this is where God's saying, verse 7, he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. So God says, I'm going to give you this land, all this land. Verse 8. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall, I can't even talk tonight. Whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? You know, God's not as scared by our questions. I believe Abraham had a great relationship with God, and God was wanting to answer his questions. And let's see what God says right here. Verse 9. And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. I'm going to stop there, and we're going to come back to that. I want to go back to verse 6 here. I want to talk about salvation in the Old Testament real quick. I'm going to approach this subject before we move on to the next one. We see in verse 6 that he, that's Abram, believed in the Lord, and it counted, he, that's God, counted it to him for righteousness. This goes to show you that salvation has always been through faith in God and not of works. We're going to need to keep our place here in Genesis 15, but if you'll turn over to Romans chapter 4 tonight, I want to show you something. Romans chapter 4 tonight. Praise the Lord for a copy of the Word of God that we can turn to. Praise the Lord that most of us can read well or read. All of us should be able to read, and we'll be able to see it with our own eyeballs. We don't have to take someone's word for it. And we know that if it's in the Word, that we can trust that what God says, He's going to enable, He's going to do. And Romans chapter 4, and we're going to see not just Old Testament, but New Testament here. Romans chapter 4, look at verse 1. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture, verse 3? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That is a reference to Genesis 15, 6, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Here we see in Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, how God is pointing out to us that back then, the ungodly get righteousness, and it's through, not through works. The ungodly does not become righteous through our works, our ungodly works. The ungodly become righteous through faith in God. Amen. Abraham got saved back in the Old Testament through faith in God. Take that, dispensationalists. Take that, doubters. Take that, Church of Christ. Take that, Catholics, when you think that you got to earn your way to heaven. Take that, those who think that you don't have eternal security. What God has given you, the gifts and calling of God, are without repentance, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if salvation were earned, then you probably would have to keep it and keep doing good works. But salvation's not earned. Salvation was freely given by God, because we could not earn it, and now because we trusted God, hallelujah, we're saved. All right, turn over a little bit more. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and look at verse 6. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. According to verse 7, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, not only are you a child of God, but you're a child of Abraham. Verse 8 in the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, that would be us sinners here. The heathen is just another word for us sinners. God would justify us through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Amen. Salvation's not through a different dispensation back in the Old Testament and dispensation number two, and well, that's how God does it, this dispensation. No. I'm amazed at how people speculate and guess, and without going off on a rabbit trail, I watched some stupid YouTube video. I kind of irritated at the guy. The untold story of David and Goliath. This guy goes on this story about how Goliath was some old feeble man because he had this tumor on his brain, which people that grow tall into giants is because they had some birth defect, and because they had this birth defect that made them grow tall, it pressed against their optic nerve in their brain and they couldn't see well, and Goliath had to be held out to the battle by some young man, and this is what this guy's saying. He had to be held out to the battle by some young man, and he was going down to the Valley of Elah the same time David was coming down. That's wrong. I mean, there's a lot of holes in this story. And he says, and we speculate, and we speculate, and we speculate, and we speculate. Hey, quit guessing. Speculation is another way of guessing. You're going to tell me, I'm going to ask this guy, so you're going to tell me that the Philistines are going to hinge all of their armies and their battles on some old guy that can't even see? No. He assumed because Goliath had a shield bearer, which was common practice back then, you had an armor bearer and you had a shield bearer, that Goliath had to be held by his hand down to the battle. And you know what this guy was trying to do? He was trying to put all of the victory on David's skill as a marksman with a slingshot and how big, dumb, and stupid Goliath was. And you know, the devil's the same way. The devil's a sly old fox. He wants to slip right in and tell you a little story and then try to deflect your faith away from the Almighty God It's a man. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you about David and Goliath just to finish the story. It wasn't David's marksmanship. It was God taking that rock and singing it into the head between the metal pieces because Goliath had a helmet on and it sunk into his head. There's not, I know that those slingshots can be awesome, but there's not enough power in those slingshots to sink it into the skull and go have that much accuracy. It was God. And it's just amazing. Don't fall for these quote unquote pseudo intellectuals. They're so smart. They're dumb. They have no idea. And you know, of course, you know I had to make a comment. Everything hinges on a speculation. Speculation is a guess based on theory. It's a guess. So don't let those idiots, I'm sorry, those misguided people get you to think wrong. And I'm going to tell you here, the devil's going to do his best to deflect your faith away from God to man. Always, always, always. Count it, count it. All right, let's go now to Genesis chapter 15 again. Genesis 15, I've got 7 minutes, and then we'll finish here, Lord willing, this chapter. Genesis 15. Look at verse 9, Genesis chapter 15. He said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. So basically they divided the animals, and I preached on this years ago, and then the birds they didn't divide. And I'll tell you here, keep your finger here, turn over to Jeremiah 34. I want you to see something. Jeremiah 34 quickly. Jeremiah 34. This is how they made a contract back then. And they didn't have lawyers and LLCs back then. They did this as a contract to show between two men, to show how serious it was. Jeremiah 34, look at verse 18. The Bible says, and I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant, which they have made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof. That was a traditional formality, what they did when they wanted to make a covenant between the two. You know, back in the day in America, a man was as good as his handshake. A man was good as his word. But back then, they cut an animal in half and they passed between the parts to show how serious they were. And this is what God's telling Abraham in Genesis 15. He's like, hey, why don't you take all these animals and the certain ones you divide in half and the birds you put at the end, and I want to show you how serious I am, Abraham, about how serious I am, about how you're going to inherit all this land. Praise God that God knows and wants to prove himself to us. God wants to prove himself to us. Turn back to Genesis 15 now. Look at verse 11. Genesis 15. I have it in my notes, but I want to make sure I have it in my Bible here too as well. Verse 11. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Isn't this interesting? In the middle of this very important covenant that God is establishing between him and Abraham, this covenant that cannot be broken, this covenant that is totally contingent, it's not just a contract, this contract can be broken by both sides. A covenant really hinges on one side, and that's God's side. Hallelujah. And this covenant here that God is making with Abraham, he's going to show him how serious he is. And then all of a sudden, verse 11. And then when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. My thought was, why didn't God drive them away? Why did God even allow the carcasses, these fowls, these buzzards, to fly down on the carcasses? I think there's a little truth here that I'm going to try to preach quickly, and I'm going to move on. Satan's always going to do his best to let these carnivores devour up that which is holy. Hey, young people, Satan is having more devices. Satan has more wickedness to devour that which is holy in your life. Back when I was growing up, the big thing was satellite TV. Now you've got satellite TV in your hand. Back then, satellite TV, you had this big dish in your yard. And if you had a big dish in your yard, that was like, hey man, we're cool. Until it rained, and then that storm came, you didn't have anything. Here, the buzzards want to foul up that which is holy. Don't let the buzzards foul up God's promises in your life. You know, the devil will try to come down and to get you to doubt God's blessings and God's promises. But when he does, drive him away like those dirty, like the dirty buzzard he is. By the way, you cannot defeat the devil on your own. You need the Bible. The Bible is the only way to defeat the devil. The devil's minions will try to foul up God's blessings in your life. But when they do, drive them away. This is good for anyone because we all have people that try to come and mess up our life. Hey, don't go to church. Hey, don't go to prayer meeting. Hey, don't go to this and don't go to that. Hey, don't do devotions tonight. Don't pray. Don't read your Bible. Don't do that which is holy and spiritual. Hey, drive those buzzards away. Amen. Temptation and lust will try to foul up the future blessings that our young people have from God. And I'm going to tell you, young people, when temptation and lust come your way, you drive those buzzards away. I think God let the buzzards go down because I believe God wanted to see how serious Abraham was on his end of the deal. And God will do great and mighty things in our life, but we have some kind of responsibility in that as well. Your sinful and my sinful doubt and doubting nature will try to get us to doubt the Lord. And when this happens, we need to use the Word of God to remind us what He has done for us in the past. The devil and doubt and deceivers have tried to steal away my faith in the Lord and try to steal away your faith in the Lord. And I'm here to tell you that when that happens, let's remind ourselves what the Lord has already accomplished here at this church. 75 years, 76 years and going. Praise the Lord for that. The devil cannot ruin that. Things like God redoing our beautiful auditorium. Things like having padded pews. How many were here before the padded pews? Praise God for padded pews. We had new roofs put on during COVID. Our PA system equipment has been upgraded during COVID. God always brought in the money. And I was sharing this with Brother R.G. Smith yesterday, that every year that I've been here, we've raised the budget up. And every year, God brings in more money than what we budgeted. Praise God. Hallelujah. We celebrated 75 years last year. We have more. And now we're about to have new flooring in the fellowship hall. You know, God's saying, hey, there's great and mighty things just coming down the road. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward, Madison Street. Just keep moving forward. Just keep trusting me. Just keep following me. And don't let the buzzards ruin that which is holy. Verse 12, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, and a horror of great darkness fell upon him. He gives Abram a little sneak peek into the future. Verse 13, he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again. For the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt, that's the Nile, unto this great river, the river Euphrates, the Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Kadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites, all those people that are in that land. God's already given that land. He's going to take it from them and give it to Abram and his seed. And I'm here to tell you tonight, and I want to encourage you here tonight, that it doesn't matter what happens in our life, it doesn't matter what kind of bad it seems that's going on in our life, God's there to help you and bless you. Just keep moving forward. Amen. God's not about to quit. He's not going to take us this far and just drop us. He's going to have us continue to keep on going. Lord, I pray that you bless us tonight. I thank you for your people. What a blessing it is to be co-laboring with them. Lord, it's great to be here serving the Lord. On Wednesday night, Lord, many people didn't even go to church. One reason or another. I'm not here to necessarily make a judgment on that, Lord. I just appreciate those that were able to come tonight. I pray that you bless them. I pray that you help us to have a good night. I pray that you keep us safe. Lord, thank you for things like air conditioning, padded pews, an upgraded PA system, a beautiful auditorium, every roof that keeps our buildings dry. Lord, there's so much more. Buildings and grounds that our church has had and owned for 76 years. Lord, because of your favor and your blessings. Lord, I thank you for your people. I pray that you bless them tonight. All those things we ask in your name. Amen. We're dismissed.